So a number of years ago, I was working on the sales team here at WFMD and sister station WFRE, and I belonged to one of those networking groups, BNI, Business Networking International. You know, you give each other leads and that sort of thing. And one of the guys in there, you know, had what they call him a one-on-one. And I was meeting with the guy, and he's trying to pitch me on, well, it had nothing to do with his business. It was something totally unrelated to his business, but he was trying to pitch me on this, what to me was a newfangled thing. This is like 20 years ago, so I don't know if it was new-ish at the time as far as popularity. But it was the Enneagram. No idea what it was.
Enneagram.
I've always said Enneagram, but maybe it's Enneagram. I don't know. Whatever.
I've heard
tomato, also. Tomato, right? Anyway, he gave me a book and some resources to look, and
when was this, Troy?
This is like 20-ish years
ago.
Wow. And he was telling me that, you know, it's... You know, it's like one of those personality profile
like
things.
Myers-Briggs. Like
Myers-Briggs or a Gallup thing or whatever. You know, what are the personality profiles? Is it Gallup? They have your, it doesn't matter. But I think, okay, in that context, no, it might be interesting. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I wasn't as mature in my faith and advanced in my theological understanding and my knowledge of the Bible back then. Today, I probably would have found a whole bunch of things that I would have gone back to. But it just gave me an uneasy feeling. And so here we are, 20 years later, I finally have the courage to start talking about this on the Faith Debate Show. Because about 20 years ago, I started the Faith Debate Show, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. I'm Troy Skinner. You can find me online at WFMD.com, the Faith Debate page, or my church's website, householdoffaithinchrist.com. Joined this week by David Forsey. I don't know if you've heard his voice just yet this week.
Howdy.
That's David. And I think you did hear for a half a second Daniel Razvi's voice.
But yes.
Okay. And Imran Razvi is here. Imran and Daniel, they co-pastor a church called the church that meets at Imran's house. It's in the Thurmont area. David Forsey pastors a church that kind of meets in various locations depending on the week.
Locations.
Undisclosed. Yeah. Deep in their bunker in various spots and around Frederick County.
At least we don't post
now
the address
like
online.
The Mark Levin show.
And, what's that?
Now you sound like the Mark Levin show. That's the
Now
broadcasting from an underground bunker deep within the bowels
and to
of
be
the
honest,
manuscript building.
So are we. As it turns out. Maybe that's just what radio people do. I don't know. Anyway, I'm the pastor of a church, Household of Faith in Christ. And I think I mentioned that website, householdoffaithinchrist.com. So this Enneagram or Enneagram, is it harmless?
Just define what is it?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, you seem to know something about it. I've been doing a lot of the. I have notes, so I can refer to them.
It's pretty popular in Christian circles.
Yeah, so does somebody
right
want to take a ball and run with it, or do you want me to just say what it is?
Well, for one thing, when you look at the way they lay out the personality test, it does have a pentagram like right there in the middle. So that's that makes you a little bit uneasy when you look at it.
And that's not really even by mistake. I mean, it has definite occult mystic origins. I mean, that's...
Do you have like a definition you can read or something? A nice summary, Troy?
So here we go. This is not my words. I copied and pasted somebody else's, but I think they do a nice job. What's known as the Enneagram of personality, or the traditional Enneagram, or however Daniel said I'm supposed to say it.
Enneagram.
I've never heard it said that way.
Some pastor that was preaching against it was pronouncing it that way. So that's how I heard that.
I wonder if that was like George Bush saying Saddam. Saddam Hussein.
He was mocking.
All I know is he had a lot of good stuff to say.
Anyway, so this Enneagram, I'm going to have to say it the only way I really am comfortable remembering to say it. It's a complex system of understanding individuals that some tout as a path to liberation or self-actualization, even a way to know God. It's the geometric symbol that Daniel referenced. It has 9 points, intersecting lines. Gets its name from the Greek word for 9, ennea, I guess, or N-A. I don't know how to say 9 in Greek. I can't remember. I should know how to say that. Anyway, it goes way, way back in time, but then it became introduced to the West back in the early part of the 1900s and became very popular in the middle part of the last century, like in the 1960s. And it's very complex, and not everybody's going to agree on what it is or how to define it, because apparently this guy in the 1960s taught a system that had 108 Enneagrams, not 9. But most of them, like 100 of them practically, did not catch on in the West, in the United States. So we're stuck with the 9.
They're
apparently limited minds over here. We can only comprehend 9 things at a time.
They're somehow connected with the 9 personality types are connected somehow with 9 divine forms of Plato, plus the 7 deadly sins somehow, and also has a lot of influence from the mystic Judaism, the Kabbalah. Traditions are somehow part of all of this as well. And if you dig deep enough, you'll see, oh, this is connected to Roman Catholicism. This is connected to Buddhism, Islam, Taoism, even ancient Greek philosophy. So this is kind of an amalgam of a lot of New Age stuff all coming out as a personality profile test.
I've heard some pastors caution against personality tests in general, that they may also have New Agey and occultist type of things. But Enneagram especially, if there's any personality test you want to avoid, it'd be the Enneagram. It's got too much history in the occult.
And here's the thing that really I think is ear-catching, all right? Believers in the Enneagram seek to unravel the mystery of their true identity. They see themselves as spiritual beings who've lost contact with their true nature. Once discovering their true self by means of the Enneagram, they experience a spiritual awakening full of freedom and joy, a conversion of sorts. Thus, the Enneagram is seen as a mystical tool for solving mankind's problem, lack of self-knowledge, that's the big problem, of course, and providing the means of salvation, which is self-discovery. So it's about focus inward, finding out my true self. This is very in variety of ways in the political discourse even right now.
I found it very helpful, actually.
You found the Enneagram helpful? Mm-hmm. So what did you find out about your true self?
Well, not in the sense... So, I mean, I think first it's important to couch this by saying... So like with all of these things, right? So if people are going to view any of these personality tests as like keys, right? Like they unlock something like that was hidden before, right? That sort of is like making that thing more important than scripture, than the Bible, right? So one, I think anytime we're looking at anything, learning anything new, finding out anything that is, you know, helpful knowledge, right? Because we're warned against that in Scripture. We're warned against worshiping knowledge, right? And learning that can become a god to us.
But I'm intrigued. What you actually like filled out all the questionnaire
a million of them out there.
Yeah. I mean, the one that I was exposed to 20 years ago, it was, holy cow, lots of questions.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of different. I mean, there's like simple little tests online and stuff.
Okay. Well, so I did this big full finagle thing years ago, and I just found it to be gibberish myself. I didn't find it helpful, like even a little bit, and a little weird, actually, even then. Now I'm sure I'd find it even more weird, but you don't seem to find it all that weird. You found it helpful.
Yeah.
Unless you're being tongue in cheek. I don't know.
No, I'm being serious.
How did you find it helpful? What was helpful about it?
Well, and just to tie into something else that we've said about all of these things, which is, right, like it takes real truth to make a good lie.
Sure.
Right. That's how people get led down paths away from God, is by being given true, real bait. Right.
Right.
And then they head down. They follow places they shouldn't go. So. The thing that I've found helpful about it is considering it causes you to think about the differences in people, what makes people different, and I think that if we couch that conversation right and I never thought of it as anything much more than just like a personality test.
Right, and the idea behind a personality test is if you can try to broadly categorize people into different personalities, you know, the two basic ones, it would be introverted and extroverted, you know, and if you know somebody's more introverted or extroverted ahead of time, you might be able to interact with them in a way that, number one, does not cause as much offense, and number two, lets you accomplish whatever your mutual goals are with meeting that person.
Yeah, so
that's the idea.
So it can help you be more hospitable, right, if you understand how other people are different from you.
It's like the five love languages, which I know, Troy, is one of your pet peeves, the whole five love languages thing.
I was going to actually bring that up in this context, you're reading my mind.
And
are you a mind reader? You have ESP. Are you clairvoyant?
He was just looking at your open hand over there. So we need to be hospitable, and part of being hospitable is getting to know how other people are different from us. Also, I think, you know, considering the differences in every one of us has different strengths and weaknesses, right? And so thinking about how people are different from one another, which God has made us different from one another, right? And that's good. And so taking that into consideration, that also helps us to say, okay, you know, what are my strengths and weaknesses as well? So, like, it's good to think about who we are, to think about who other people are, who God has made them to be, and also the different ways that people bear God's image, right? Because of by their strengths that God has built into them.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in for a second. That's David Forsey. I'm Troy Skinner. You're going to be hearing from Daniel in a second because he's got a look on his face like, I've got some things I want to say or ask. But I want to jump in. I don't want to say this. I feel like there is some truth in what you're saying, but I would feel like I would apply that to the more generic Gallup personality tests or the Myers-Briggs tests, where are you an achiever? Are you a connector? Are you what are you? As far as I know, maybe somebody can educate me, but those don't have any sort of spiritual background or baggage in them. I mean, you read some of these guys, Roman Catholic friar Richard Rohr says the Enneagram is concerned with change and making a turnaround, what the religious traditions call conversion or repentance. Another guy, Roman Catholic, and he's an author, Christopher Hertz, he says that the Enneagram is much more than a personality tool, says it provides 9 ways we can find our way back to God. An Episcopal priest, Ian Crone, I think, says every number on the Enneagram teaches us something about the nature and character of the God who made us. I mean, these are spiritual.
For those
faith
of you listening,
driven.
There is only one way to God, not 9 ways.
Yeah, and so that
just want to make
so
that
I'm
clear.
I'm concerned. I want to throw out like a caution flag a little bit. You know what it reminds me as you're talking? What it reminds me of, and we're dealing in the throes of it these last 5-6 years now. It reminds me of critical race theory, of CRT. The defenders of CRT
is
an analytical tool. It's just an analytical tool, but it's analyzing things that the Bible can help us analyze. I'm concerned that the spiritual aspects of this are undercutting the sufficiency of Scripture. That would be my concern.
One of the dangers with any personality test type of thing, and this whether it has a cult history or not, is if you're going to put yourself in a box, and then that's the whole critical race theory issue too. You're putting yourself in a box and then saying, well, this is how I am. There is no way to change that. I'm always going to be this way, so I might as well learn to live with it. And you might say, well, Daniel, you say that gender is unchangeable. Well, yeah, because that's a physical reality. But the way that you interact with things and the way you use your mind and your spirit, God can change your heart and change your mind in different ways to give you new ways of serving God and serving the church. I think it's a little bit different for personalities.
Now, David, have you done Myers-Briggs or the Gallup or any of the other ones, or is this the only quote-unquote personality test that you've really...
No, I think there's a couple others that I've done in the past.
Did you find the Enneagram more helpful than the other ones?
Yeah.
And how so?
Yeah, so, and let's see. So I've done, there's one called, what, Strengths Finder that was popular.
Is that the one that has the shapes? The squiggle, the triangle, the square, the circle.
No, I don't think so.
I've seen that one.
Oh, okay.
The Strengths Finder is popular a number of years ago.
Yeah, I've done like a half a dozen of them because I was in sales. I mean, it's like every 3 years.
Every seminar you go to, they give you a new one to do.
So the thing that I found helpful about the Enneagram is because like there are these sort of like 9 right, basic categories. But the thing that I found helpful about it is that it basically, the idea of the Enneagram in essence is that, right, you might sort of, you might fit into one of those categories, but there are ways that you, there are a lot of nuances to that, right? There are a lot of ways that you, like you, you know, the different categories tend to think about the other categories in certain ways. It's much more nuanced, and I think that it, right, again, I think if you start with God has created us, right? He's made us to bear his image. There are a lot of different aspects to God's image, right? And we don't all, right? He hasn't made us all the same. Like, he's made us different from one another, yeah, for a reason.
My thing, though, like I said, I'm not exaggerating. I think I've taken at least six of these different things. If there's a major one out there, I've probably done it.
Yeah.
And some of them I did multiple times because you work for different companies or different bosses come in or different seminars, and you might take the Myers-Briggs three times in your life or whatever. And the thing I found to be interesting is the results were not the same every time. So I think if there's any value in any of these things, I think that their only value is giving you a snapshot of where you are right then. If you guys, you might find this hard to believe, you've only known me, you know, within relatively recent years. If you knew me 30 years ago, you wouldn't recognize me. I was totally.
But if you're not changing, you're not growing. I mean, that's, you're dead.
Yeah, but I was totally like introverted and, you know, nose in a book all the time and very awkward. I mean, I'm still awkward, but in different ways. but I was not, you know, I couldn't do this show 30 years ago. I couldn't, you know, well, I could do a different version. I could do an insulated version of a kind of a show. But in my personal life, I'm a very different person, so my personality profile would be very different 30 years ago than it would be today. I could take one now and take it in a year and it would be different. So I don't know that that always kind of whatever, pshaw. And Daniel brought up the love languages, the five love languages. Now, that's supposedly based on some sort of Christian idea and biblical model. And even that is like, okay, whatever. It puts people in a box artificially. I'm not even a fan of that one. And then the Enneagram makes me even more suspicious or put off by it. I'm not where you are on
Oh, I mean, I think it's like a maybe the five love languages in particular is more like a little coffee table book that has like some get to know you kind of questions, like, you know, like, what kind of things do you like? What would you do in this situation? You know, how would you feel if this happened?
But if it's not based on scriptural truth, you might as well ask a magic eight ball those questions.
No.
See, I disagree with you. This is an identifier, and people do change. People do grow and move. But whatever your situation is now, I mean, you might have trauma, and you can heal from trauma, and now those same things don't bother you anymore. So if this is just a tool used to identify what your personality is right now, that doesn't mean that's the personality you're going to die with. I mean,
I'm agreeing with that.
I was extremely.
In fact, that was my point: is we're changing. So
right, I was extremely introverted in high school, even as 10th grader. If I didn't see my parents when I was going grocery shopping, I'd start breaking out in a sweat and start crying. As a 10th grader, I was just very phobias, and that all changed because I made a decision to change. I didn't like my life, and I changed. So I think if an Enneagram or whatever it is, and I don't know enough about it, but if it's used to identify different things that your behavior shows, and that is a starting point of how to change your behavior.
But I don't need an Enneagram to tell me that. Scripture can tell me that, right? A good sermon will tell me. That's my concern, is I feel like we're really weakening the sufficiency of Scripture. We're trying to find our true nature through the Enneagram. No, God tells you my true nature is. My heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? I'm a sinner in need of saving. Right. And I've committed probably every sin imaginable, at least in my heart. You know, that's my true nature. I need to have a new nature by being born again. I don't need the Enneagram to tell me those things.
I think there's a difference, and David apparently has had a different experience with this, but from what I've seen, and I've researched an Enneagram a decent amount, I've heard some sermons about it as well, it goes deeper for that than other personality tests. Troy, your phone is dying now. It goes deeper for an Enneagram. It's more of, you know, this is the way that you are, and there's a lot more spiritual.
But it's got a lot of Freudianism in it too, if I remember correctly. It was talking about, like, you know, there's a difference between your person is your essence, but then there's also your ego, and it's talking about what your ego is, and that's very Freudian. That's not really biblical language. There's a lot of it. I'm trying to remember all the things I remember from 20 years ago. Very scattershot, right. But
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of, and it all depends on who is. In my opinion, I think it depends on the lens through which you're viewing it, right? So if you're viewing it through the lens of modern psychology, right, then that's how you're going to see it.
And not just modern psychology, but also esoteric psychology, if that's a term.
Occultism.
Yeah, right? it's New Ageism, occultism. Esoteric psychology kind of blends a whole bunch of these things kind of together. And I feel like the Enneagram reinforces somebody to go down that path. If somebody took the Myers-Briggs, I don't think I would say, well, okay, whatever. You know, do it, don't do it, I don't care. But the Enneagram, it's such a spiritual rootedness that I'm very nervous about suggesting it's okay.
I think that's because people have a hunger for spiritual things. And, right, if they can pursue, if they can get some sort of sense of spiritual fulfillment apart from God, you know, that they will. Like, that's our sinful tendency, right, is to try and fill that space with something other than God, with something that focuses on us, right, where we're worshiping us. And so, again, I think it's going back to several shows ago at this point, in some ways similar to yoga, right, where there is, there's a certain sort of religion of sorts, you know,
built the founders around and it, the creators of this program, right, that were intending it to be an occult type of thing. New Agey, at least.
Yeah.
So there's such a thing as a holy Enneagram.
I think there is a, just like the Bible doesn't have everything in it about, what we should do to be physically healthy, right? I think that through experience and discussion, and, you know, certainly, and the thing that I do like about the Enneagram is I think it recognizes that we are spiritual beings, and that's true, right? Two, it talks about us in terms of, in biblical terms of what's good and what's evil, right? What's sinful and what's righteous, and we should filter all of that through Scripture. You know, is this true? Is this right? You know, what are my sinful tendencies? You know, what are the things that God, and they're spiritual gifts, right? Like that God gives to people in His church, and, you know, I should try to recognize what those are that God has placed in me and use those strengths.
Yeah, we got just like a minute and a half left, and Imran's been leaning in. Got something to add.
So to your point that you said about sales and about all these different things that help you evaluate and stuff, I mean, while you're always trying to find ways to be a better salesperson, right? I've been doing that and been sales. How do I become a better salesperson? And this Christian, help guy, you know, I bought into his program because he was a Christian, and he's telling me all these different things that he can help me be a better salesman, better closer, better this, better that, and improve my life. And I bought it and brought it home and started looking at it. My wife looked at it and she said, no, don't do this. This is not biblical. I said, but the guy is a Christian. He's this and that. He proclaims Christ in everything he does. She said, but this is all about your inner self and how you can repeat certain words to make it happen, and to, it's like it's prosperity gospel, which is not biblical. And I didn't even notice that because I was looking for ways to improve my performance. So to David's point is there's a lot of tools out there. You got to know what you're looking at, but if you're just identifying what's wrong with you, that's a good place to start. And if that using something, you got to know where it's coming from and give the glory back to God, because that's really where it is.
And I might have to take the final word here. I will say, in fairness to David, because I've been pushing back on it, it's actually one of the first times ever that he's been on the show where I've kind of pushed back on a lot of things he's had to say. it seems to me that there could possibly be some good meat in there, and you could chew and digest that meat and spit out the bones. My concern is there's so many bones, and the risk of choking on one of those bones, with the Enneagram, feels very, very high to me. So so you can agree with David. You can. Yeah, use caution. You can agree with David if you want and be wrong. That's okay. Or you can agree with me.
There's a lot of bones to choke on when you go to the shopping mall.
So anyway, so that's David Forsey, thank you for being on the show and being a good sport about my ribbing. Ribs. Daniel Imran Razvi, thank you for being on the show. I'm Troy Skinner. Find us online at householdoffaithinchrist.com and WFMD.com. Till next week, 167 and a half hours from about now. God bless.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.